swing of the right leg, and we're underway.
Here we go.
You know what time the game starts? All right, here we go, fellas. Let's have a little fun today. Is anybody else tired, or is it just me? I got some advice for y'all. Take 2 weeks off, then quit.
From the goal line, the 5, the 10, the 15.
Through a hole to the 20, to the 30, outside, to the 40. He may be gone. Midfield, to the 40, the 30, the 25, 20, the 10, 5. Touchdown for Desmond Howard.
5 letters here. R-E-L-A-X. Relax.
This is the best thing that's happened in Green Bay in a long time.
Welcome to the Packers Worldwide Podcast.
What's going on, Packers fans? Welcome into another edition of PWW Podcast. I am your host, as always, Matt Frelick. Alongside of me, still my favorite Canadian Packers fan, Ryan Bowman. Ryan, what's happening today?
Nothing much, man. Just pretty excited for another episode of the PWW Podcast. And, we've got a pretty special guest with us here today, right?
We have a special guest. He aligns with me on undergarment choices. We're boxer guys, but of course, Tom Grassi checking in with us. Thanks for taking the time out of your day to connect with us. I'm glad to know I have a brother and an ally in the boxer undergarment world.
Absolutely. That honestly, those 5 minutes of us speaking about our underwear choices was the most bliss I have felt in 6 weeks.
I can't disagree. I actually have shorts on. You guys said no pants. You know, that's here nor there. Luckily, this isn't a video component. We can sit back and relax and do our thing. But Tom, we're really, like I said, really happy to connect with you. I've been following you on Twitter for a while now, and just the unique content you're always putting out. I actually dove in a little bit more in the last week or so since we connected. You put out some funny shit, man. That's really the best way I can say it, and it's consistent. But first of all, what the heck does the Grassi Posse, or as I should say, hashtag Grassi Posse, what does that actually mean and entail? Like, what happens when you're part of the Grassi Posse?
Well, all right, so this is going to be a question that is going to at least take up at 45 minutes. I don't know if you guys...
No, that's kind of what we were hoping for.
Okay, perfect. All right, so you guys may have heard the name Jim Jones before. He was the leader of the People's Temple Religious Group, also known for the Jonestown Massacre, where everybody drinks the Kool-Aid and dies in the middle of the jungle. Kind of like that's been my inspiration from the start when forming the Grassi Posse. I feel like it's just a gathering, a cult gathering, in which we are not really professing any religion. It's more of just, hey, listen, we like the Packers, and we like to burn things down. So that's kind of been the start of it. And the way that I came up with it is I took the word Grassi, which was my last name, and the word posse, which meant like a gathering or a group of people, and shockingly combined it. And upon realizing that I did that, realizing that it rhymed, and so people remembered it. Though I will say, there are many people who spell posse incorrectly with an I instead of an E. And the way that I look at it is there's no I in the Grassi Posse, except in my last name, but there's an E for everyone.
Aw.
I just made that up completely. No, it just rhymed and sounded good. Yeah, no, that came up from stand-up comedy. When I was doing my stand-up, I had those printed out on shirts. And I liked it, and it kind of stuck ever since.
Yeah, maybe talk about that, Tom, because I think that's one of the things, you know, is such a unique part of what you do is there's that blend of comedy and sports. It's kind of like a perfect balance. So how did you go from that journey of stand-up comedy to basically live streaming every day on not just the Packers, but
yeah,
pretty much all the other teams under the sun now too?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that, you know, when I was in college, I joined an improv comedian group. So if you guys have ever seen like the show Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Definitely, yeah. Great show.
Absolutely love that show. So I was in this group called TBA, and it was an improv group, and I joined my sophomore year, really gravitated towards it. And junior year, I think I was the vice president, didn't mean anything. And then my senior year, I was leading the group. What happened was, is when I graduated, you know, I actually got a call from UCB, which is the Upright Citizens Brigade. And that's in New York City, where, like, you know, basically, if you're going to go to SNL, you go to the UCB first. Like Tina Fey went there, Amy Poehler, whatever. And they called me and they're like, hey, Tom, you know, because we had done like shows with them and training with them. And so they were like, hey, do you want to kind of like, you know, join our group post college? And me being me, I was like, no, I'm going to go get a teaching job and be a teacher and be a professional and blah, 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 blah. So I basically turned down the chance to be on SNL, which was cool. It doesn't haunt me at all. And what wound up happening was, shockingly, when I graduated, I did not get a teaching job because no one would hire you if you had no experience. And so the catch-22 emerged of, okay, well, then how do I get a job if nobody hires me and they're looking for experience? So that was fun. So basically, I took an office job. They don't listen to this, or maybe they do. I was completely miserable there. Like, it was a soul-crushing, sucking job. What wound up happening, actually, like, when Robin Williams passed away, that week, I was like, you know what? I'd never done stand-up before. Let me try and go and do that. And that was the first time I tried stand-up. I did an open mic, which was pretty cool. It was just like at some dinky bar in which the audience members had no idea there was going to be stand-up comedy, which is the majority of stand-up comedy. Basically, like, it went pretty well. Did a contest, won a contest, and like did some stand-up comedy for a while. And then with the podcast, that came after the 2014 NFC Championship game with the Packers and Seahawks, which was just, you know, top 10 memory of all time. And then I made like a reaction video on YouTube like a few days after that happened. And like that went like semi-viral back in the day. And that's when I decided to do the podcast. And like, listen, as you guys know, as I'm on a fellow Packers podcast, everybody and their mother has a podcast, right? Like everybody has one. The space is so saturated. Everybody's trying to do it, especially I have found, I don't know if you guys have noticed, like during this like quarantine, like during the pandemic, like I've seen like a lot of people go, I'm going to start a podcast. You know, for me, if I was going to do one, I wanted it to be different. And so for the first like 2-ish to 3 years, it was just audio. Like it was just on SoundCloud and, you know, iTunes back then. And, you know, that was it. I couldn't even get on Spotify. And I brought in guests from the opposing team every single week to talk to them, just fans of like, you know, Vikings fans, Bears fans, whatever. And I've continued that, you know, since then. And when I decided to go to YouTube, listen, like 3 years ago, like no one was watching me. No one gave a flying, I can curse on here, right?
Absolutely.
Cool. No one gave a shit about me. Similar to now, but no one gave a shit about me. It's one of those things that whenever somebody asks, like, you know, why, how do you do a podcast? I say like, you have to be, first, you have to love it, you know, because no one would stick with this. This is my sixth year doing it. No one would stick with it and make no money for 4 out of the 6 years doing it unless they really loved it. And I loved it and I didn't care at all who was listening. It was always great. I still vividly remember the first time that over 100 people listened to my podcast. It was a Rams one back in the 2015 season and it made me overjoyed. And I think that, you know, when it came to implementing the comedy is that so many people have like the podcast in which they bring, you know, some people are really good at like the X's and O's, right? Like they're really good in diving into schemes and, you know, what routes people are running and blah, 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 blah. Like that's not my strength. And I was never going to pretend that was my strength. And I think that what I'm decent at is implementing my personality into football, and coming from a teacher and educator background, I can make someone who doesn't know a lot about the team or doesn't understand a lot of football, I can dumb it down enough in which, or simplify it enough where I can explain it and the point can be conveyed. So I think that that has, you know, been very helpful, both the improv comedy, because when I do shows, nothing is scripted. I write down stats and that's it. Everything I do, there is no script to it. When you do that, I find that you get a lot more genuine moments and things like that. And I found that that has led to some tiny bit of success.
That's a great answer. That's fantastic.
I'm so sorry for that wrong. That was so long. I'm so sorry. I got bored of myself.
I'm pleased. Maybe Ryan or our listeners are not, but I'm pleased that that answer was longer than the boxer brief scenario question, which you said was going to be 45 minutes. So I appreciate that.
It's interesting because we kind of have a similar mentality. We just started out. We are that pandemic podcast, by the way, just so you know. But you know,
yeah, but you guys are good. So like, it's okay.
That, yeah, we appreciate that, you know. But what one of the things that we try and do is not just have a generic podcast. We've had some guests on the show, and we want them to talk about really unique, specific, niche things. And that was really kind of what gravitated towards me following you on YouTube. I was like, you said it. There's a ton of podcasts. There's a ton of live streams. Everybody's doing it. What am I going to spend the 25 to 30 minutes a day that I have to watch stuff like that on? And it's got to be entertaining and fun to watch, and definitely hit the nail on that. So, you know, one of the things I always appreciate when I see one of your live streams is the the memorabilia. I collect some stuff myself. I've got a few prized possessions in my live stream background. What would you say? Like, is you have a ton of stuff hanging up there on display. What would you say is like one of your favorite pieces, your proudest item in that collection?
Ryan, I just had to pause for a second because, damn, that was the greatest transition I've heard in quite some time. Look, I love how you're just like, Tom, let's pivot to say on script. And that was beautiful. That was well done. And that was the mark of a professional right there.
Thank you.
That deserves a round of applause. Okay. Memorabilia. Yeah, I got a crap ton of hats, like a lot of hats. I've had Green Bay Packers hats since I was 7 years old, and I never wear them. I look like a man who drives a white van and offers candy to children when I wear hats. So it really is a slippery slope. But I think, you know, one of my most prized possessions was a Bart Starr signed helmet, which I found out was fake. So that hurt. Ouch. That hurt. That was a little bit of a gut punch. At the moment, it's probably like the Aaron Rodgers signed mini helmet that I got here. If I have to go with like a hat, there's like a couple hats back here that are like my legit favorite. I know when I was in college, when the Packers won Super Bowl 45, I got the newspaper from the New York Times when it came out that, like, you know, said that the Packers are champions, and my wife, you know, framed it in this beautiful frame. And like, that's what's, you know, front and center of the pod. So I'd have to say it's between like one hat, which I just love the design, the newspaper clipping, or of course the Aaron Rodgers signed mini helmet.
That's decent. Like mini helmet, Aaron. And the fact that your wife would frame that for you, that's super nice. And I've noticed she supports you quite a bit or likes to give you crap about your content. So either way, there's feedback. That's all that really matters when it comes down to it. As far as your setup, I've been observing a little bit more recently, Tom, we're trying to get launched some YouTube stuff or even just some video stuff, right? And I think your best thing is, one, your personality, of course. It's unique. You're not afraid to say what you want to say, and also just the consistency. But behind that, like, there, no offense, there's not a lot of bells and whistles to your production, specifically the sign that says PackCast.
Yeah.
And I've looked at that over the time, and it finally dawned on me this last week, why the heck is it made out of wood?
Yeah, you're 100% right. There is not a lot of bells and whistles here. I mean, like, when I started this thing, I did not know a single thing about podcasts or editing. And I gotta say, back in the day when it was just audio, oh, it was so easy. Like, it was so much better just because it took, like, I want to say a quarter of the time that it takes now to edit these things. The PackCast sign made out of wood. There was a fan that reached out to me a few years ago named Seth Robinson. And he was, if I'm not mistaken, back then, he was like a 13 or 14 year old kid who messaged me on Instagram, and he was watching me, said, "Hey, I am a carpenter. I do woodworking. Would you like me to make you something?" Back in the day, as we've already talked about, like, no one was watching me. Like, it was very few. I was very happy if I got like over 100 views on YouTube, etc. You know, the fact that someone was willing to like make something for me, I was like, hell yeah, man. Like, that would be amazing. And so, you know, over the years, I had the chance to, like, you know, look at like a neon sign or like a banner or something like that. But I think there's a lot to be said of a 13, 14 year old kid literally making something out of scratch. And like, I will proudly display that on the desk front and center, because I think, you know, that's just really freaking cool.
That's super cool.
That is super cool. It's real, you know, it's not a corporate sign of PackCast. That meant somebody, you meant enough to somebody for them to go and actually craft something for your podcast. That is pretty sweet.
It's one of those things that, like, I grapple with, you know, the whole idea of like going selling out and like corporate and stuff like that. I mean, you know, I mean, if you want to, like, we could talk about it. Like, I don't know if you guys, like, if you have, you know, like sponsors and stuff like that. But like, that's something that I personally grapple with, because I feel like, and this is not crapping on anybody who has sponsors, because go and get your money. But I feel like because everybody does it, it's more meaningful. Like, I'll stream something, and I've tweeted this out, like, it means more for me than a person is like, here's $5. Like, for a super chat, which I won't even get the full $5 because YouTube takes 30% of it. Like, here's $5. Instead of like a company going, we want you to read this script, promote this product, what have you. Like, I have turned down a lot of money because I don't want that. You know, I'll advertise stuff that I really believe in, but even at that point, it's very, very minimal. I can only say maybe two or three videos I've done that, because at some point I feel like for me, it is just so much more gratifying for me personally, just to have like the fans support you.
Totally agree with that. And it's just, there's a lot of people that grab that money, especially just on YouTube. You see that all the time. Even if they're not the ads are in front of the video, they have some sort of scripted thing that they, and you're just going to scrub through it anyways when you're watching it. So I respect that quite a bit, not to take that money grab. Maybe if a brief company, or I should say a boxer company, comes at you, that might be the opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I tell, there are some companies that, like, I'll be like, listen, if, like, I use you, like, if it's a company that, like, I love, I use, I have no problem promoting that to people, because I'm like, hey, I use this stuff. But, like, when it starts to come to be like, hey, you know, promote this, I'm just like, I don't use it. I don't know if it's good. And for me, if I'm putting my name on something and saying, hey, go buy this product, and it sucks, that reflects poorly on me. I've been very weary of like that. But again, like, I understand, like, people need to make money, pay their bills. YouTube, their ad revenue most certainly doesn't. It basically forces creators to find themselves in positions where, like, they almost have to, because they're like, hey, if I'm going to dedicate the time, effort, what have you, into this, I need to get something out of it. And, you know, I can't blame a single person for doing that.
Well, definitely. And I mean, it does take a lot of time to actually get an opportunity to get sponsorship. We currently don't have any, you know, not that we would be opposed to that. Some delicious beer brand wants to pay us money to support their beer. I would not want to say, man, I love this beer, and then hand it to one of my friends or family members and say, try this out, and it'd be disgusting. Good beer companies, please get at us, Packers Worldwide. But other than that, we're good. Talking about time and effort, like, I am blown away by the amount of live streams that you do, Tom. Like, and recently, like, it historically, keep me honest here, it's mostly been Packers, but I believe last year you started doing streams for all the NFL teams. Is that right?
Yeah, I started just doing games that I was like super interested in. It was just Packers 2 years ago. And then, yeah, last year we started venturing into other teams.
So what does that look like as a Packers fan, you know, streaming for other teams? And is there a team that you've done a live stream for, like, that would be your favorite fan base or team to do that for?
Well, what I find fascinating is, over the years, not last year, but the past 2 years after that, like, when the Vikings, like, won the division and were really good, a crap ton of Vikings fans, like, came over to kind of, like, rub the salt in the wound and was like, ha-ha, you suck. And then they stayed. And then, you know, when the Bears won the division, they did the exact same thing, and then they stayed. So I think that, you know, if it's an NFC North team that's not the Lions, because nobody talks about them, if it's like the Bears or the Vikings, I find that it's a lot of fun usually to stream those games, because I'm usually actively rooting against them. Those are the fun ones. But like, what I really gravitate towards is like, just, it's a good game, right? It's like a really good Sunday night football or a Monday night football game. I am going to be interested and excited to watch as a fan. And I feel like, you know, there's a little bit of like less pressure, because like, when it's a Packers game, right, not only am I like doing the play-by-play and streaming it, but I am also like incredibly emotionally invested into the outcome of that game. Like, there is something to be said of like, okay, cool, I'm going to chill here, like, relax, we're going to watch this game and we're going to talk about it. And there's really no stakes or pressure with it. And I think, you know, if it's just a damn good football game to watch, I'm all for it. Because as time has gone on, while I do stream a lot more, it's one of those things that, because of that, like, I personally don't have time to like sit down and actually watch a football game by myself.
I think it makes sense to do that, to diversify, right? There are good matchups, and you want to experience that with people who are huge NFL fans, not just Packer fans. Maybe that's one of your secrets. But Tom, we're wondering here, you know, we're starting out, and I think a lot of people would gravitate towards you to just learn from your consistency and your content, but YouTube specifically, right? I noticed you're close to that 100K mark. I think you're about 97 and change, whatever that may be, last time I checked. What are some of your secrets to doing that? Just talk about that, whatever you'd like to, you know, share with the crowd.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what the issue is behind that entire thing is like that there is like a secret, right? Like that there's like a trade secret of like, oh, if I do this, this is how I'm successful. And there are plenty of people who have started channels after me, who have started podcasts after me, and are more successful than me, like that 100% easy. I think for me personally, what has kind of been at it is, we were talking about how years ago, I'm elated if 100 people watch my videos. The time that goes into that. So what I used to edit off of was my old laptop, and I'd record, I'd edit it, and I'd render it. The rendering on that laptop took three times the amount of whatever length that video was. So if it was a 10-minute video, it took 30 minutes to render. And so if you're looking at it, just a basic 10-minute episode, and a lot of them every week, you know, we were doing interviews, which were 45 minutes to an hour and a half long. Like, there was times where I sat 5 hours as my video rendered and like my cat stepped on it and had to start over again. I think that in order for you to be successful, like, you have to be fully okay with that. That's a very hard thing to do. It is, as you guys most likely know, it is very difficult to put, to like be like, oh my God, that was a great episode, right? Like, that everything flowed, you know, I didn't stammer, I didn't have to do a lot of edits, you know, it was really great content, or I had a really great guest, what have you. And you pour yourself into it and no one gives a shit. Like, nobody watches, right? Like, every podcaster creator has been there. They have done that. There are plenty of episodes where I'm like, holy shit, that was so good. And no one cared. And like, that could be a very deflating, very, you know, dehumanizing kind of experience. If you just keep doing it, that is what I think is the if you're going to call anything a secret, that's what it is. You know, you have to make good content. And I will be the first to say, there is plenty of shit that I have made back in the day that was bad. The audio was terrible. Like, the audio only got good like this November. Like it got consistent because I actually was able to buy a decent soundboard. But I think it's just, you have to make good content that people actually want to hear and not the same old shit. And at the same time, like, there has to be a level of consistency. The vast majority of podcasts fail within the first 6 months because, and again, I don't blame anybody, but like, you pour your ass and work your ass off into this and nobody listens. And you're like, well, screw this then. Why am I going to waste my time doing this? And that's what I mean of like, you just have to be willing to commit to it. Listen, this is my sixth year, you know, and we're starting to find like some success. Sometimes you're going to go years. Like, if you are starting a podcast right now and you're like, you know what, I want to do this. Great. That's awesome. Be willing to do this for years without making a penny, because literally that's what happened to me. For 4 years, I did not make a dime off the podcast. And even when I started making money, it sure as hell wasn't enough to pay the bills. So I think, and that was working two jobs. As long as I've done this podcast, I've been a full-time teacher. And like, that's some of those things of, you're working, you know, 80 to 100 hour weeks. I'm not saying you should do that, but that's basically what I was willing to do. And I think just like that pushing through in a very saturated market with that consistency, you know, you are at least more likely to be successful.
You said it, Tom. I mean, when Matt, you can attest to this, when we first started chatting about, you know, launching this site and doing this podcast, we set the expectations of what the financial rewards were going to be right off the bat. And it wasn't about that. It was about coming on and talking about the Packers, interacting with other Packers fans and other people that wanted to chat about it. And I think you hit the nail on the head, Tom. Like, you actually have to really enjoy doing it to get to the point where people are willing to notice you out there and, you know, sponsor or have any kind of success on YouTube. You actually have to keep at it and push through some of that tough stuff. This is episode nine. So we're like one episode away from double digits. Matt,
I think
that's pretty, we're getting there, man. We're here to stay, you know? So maybe, you know, 6 years, what did you say, Tom? Like, from now, we'll...
Yeah, I mean, like, listen, 4 years from now, like, I think like that... And like, that's the thing, like, it's a ridiculous thing to say. I'm trying to look up as I'm talking to you because I honestly have no idea. Like, I think if I'm not mistaken, like, we're close to, decently close, like, we're over 900 videos on YouTube.
That's crazy.
And like, that's like, you know, again, years after some of the stuff I already did, in which I was doing stuff during like the season, just audio. There are people who have done 100 videos and they have a crap ton more subscribers than me. And I feel like that's also one of the things that's not often talked about. It is very easy for you to look at another creator and be like, fuck, like, that sucks. They are killing it. They are growing. What am I doing wrong? How come I'm not growing like them? And I'd be lying if I said like, I've never had those feelings, because I definitely have. And I think it's just a matter of, like, you kind of got to stay in your own lane, because nobody, regardless, for example, if I started the Packers Worldwide podcast and was like, screw you guys, I'm taking it, I could not replicate the same exact show that you're doing, even if it was the exact same script with the exact same words, etc. Nobody else is doing what you're doing. They could be doing something that's very, very similar to. And I think that that's what you kind of have to keep in mind, that nobody can replicate what you are doing and what you're bringing to the table. The more different that you are, great, wonderful. It increases your odds of standing out. But at the same time, yes, you're going to watch people pass you, and you've got to put your head down and say, whatever, and just keep on doing what you're doing.
Tom, I had, not to get too personal here, but back in 2018, I was needing a personal project to get to just do something else besides my job. I hated my job at the time. Seems like you've had a similar experience. But I started putting out a podcast pretty much every 7 or 8 days. It was about sports, about hip-hop music, which I'm really into, and just interviewing people that I think were doing cool stuff, from a local stock car driver that I know from around here, people that own their own businesses, a local musician from here. And after about 6 months, I just got burned out. And it was because you look at the number on Anchor FM, wherever you're sponsoring your stuff, put all that time and energy, and you take some really nice, beautiful nights out where you should be out enjoying it from friends, and instead you're sweating a spare bedroom and with monitors cooking you alive, and you're just editing a podcast, and you put that out the next day, and you're hoping, and you're sharing with friends, and all of a sudden you only get 20 listens or 60 listens all time. And I think just what I learned early on with that is, for one, don't over leverage yourself starting right away. Do not compare yourself to anyone else. Just be consistent. Continue to do what you are love and passionate about, and at someday it might pay off. And to be honest with you, if I wouldn't have took that leap, I would have never met you, Tom, on a podcast. I would have never met Ryan Bowman, and I wouldn't be a part of Packers Worldwide or Pack-A-Day podcast, which pretty much helped me find everyone out in Packers universe. So it's basically staying consistent and being true to yourself, in my opinion. But as far as Twitter, let's get back there. You have a pretty good following on there, but I've always wondered, just like the Packcast sign that's made out of wood, what Grassy Posse means, but what game were you on the sidelines for in your Twitter header?
Yeah, that is the 2016 preseason game between the Oakland Raiders and the Green Bay Packers at Lambeau Field. I'm not mistaken, we won like 20-12 on that game. That was after my first or second interview, I think. Maybe at first, with Mark Murphy, and he hooked me up with some field passes.
That's solid. Dang. It would have been a good story besides that, but Mark Murphy, how'd you hook up with him?
So that was after my first season. So my first full season of Packass, which was like I said, like just on like the audio stuff. And at that point, I was just hosting it on SoundCloud and doing Apple or iTunes at that point. And I don't know if you can now. I don't know. I don't pay attention. But like iTunes, I was never able to track how many people listened. I was just like, hopefully people are. But like I was able to tell it with SoundCloud. And I think out of a total of all the episodes I did in the first season, I had a total of 5,000 views, like total add it all up, which is not a lot. And basically, what wound up happening is I got the contact email from Mark Murphy, and I emailed him and said, hey, I would love, and this was on New Year's Eve of that year. And I emailed him and said, hey, listen, I'm going to do my second season premiere. I'm going to come to training camp. I would absolutely love for you to come on it in August, blah, blah, blah. Basically, shot in the dark, like, you know, when you DM random people and hope that they answer. And he got back to me within like 6 hours and was like, absolutely, here's my secretary's name, here's her email, set something up. That's how it happened. And I literally, like, I emailed her like right away, and she's like, you need to email me later, because like it's December right now and you're talking about 8 months in advance. So yeah, what wound up happening is I just like emailed throughout the year, and even the day before, I was like, they're gonna cancel on me, there's no way. That was awesome. Mark Murphy, I've had the privilege of interviewing him twice. The first time was for 90 minutes, and he like told me amazing stories. Like, that was one of the best interviews that I had. Like, he told me about how he was drafted by the Redskins, and back in the day, like, you know, they didn't have cell phones, and they basically hid him from the rest of the league so he couldn't take any phone calls during the draft. So basically basically he didn't get drafted, even though the Redskins promised him that he would, just so they can sign him for cheap as an undrafted free agent. The guy was awesome and incredibly generous with his time. Him and his wife do amazing charity work as well, who I support. Yeah, that was a really, really awesome opportunity. And to get field passes after that was really, really cool.
No doubt. Mark Murphy is part of the Grassy Posse, I guess.
Oh, all day, every day.
Basically what I got from that. So we've dived into, you know, some granular detail of Tom Grassy, but like, let's talk about some Packers stuff, Tom. I mean, we've got practice coming up in like 2 days. That's a little bit crazy to think about, that we're actually here through the pandemic, through all the insanity, or we're actually going to get some football this weekend. So who are some of the Packers draft picks or undrafted free agents, new acquisitions that you're excited to get a first look at in a Packers uniform?
The one that I'm most hyped about that we just brought in is, of course, you know, AJ Dillon. Like, that, I feel like he is going to bring that hard nose, put your head down and just barrel through defensive lines kind of mentality. And Aaron Jones is great, and I love him. He's a different type of running back, though, right? He's a passing threat. He's versatile. He's slippery in the backfield. He's kind of like a Swiss Army knife. And since Eddie Lacy, we really haven't had that kind of bruiser back. To have him at least for one season, you know, who knows what's going to happen with Aaron Jones, for at least one season of having that duo, I think that is going to be just phenomenal. So I'm really, really looking forward to seeing what he can do, especially in, you know, those cold nights in December in Lambeau. Hopefully we get that far in the season. You know, bringing guys in, you know, Kamal Martin, you know, I think he has a lot of talent. He's more of a down, you know, hill runner, pops you, you know, heavy hitter. Him with Kirksey, you know, I think is going to kind of make or break our run defense, which is, the jury's still out on them. But yeah, if I had to pick one guy, it's definitely going to be Dillon that I'm definitely the most hyped about.
Well, I'm not going to argue with you, because, you know, if anybody that listens to this podcast, they know I have been banging the table for AJ Dillon and super excited about him too since we drafted him. That was my favorite pick out of the draft as well. So I'm with you, man. I think that duo, and you can throw Jamal Williams and Tyler Irvin, like, there is just such a diverse, awesome collection of talent in that backfield. I'm excited to see what this run heavy offense is going to do to utilize all of their different skill sets. And, you know, if we do get Aaron Jones re-signed and we have that duo of AJ Dillon and Jones for like the next 3 or 4 years, man, that could be what, you know, really gets us over the hump. I think Matt LaFleur's offense is going to run through those types of players.
I completely, totally agree.
I'm thinking here, I've been hearing a ton of different chatter between what COVID's going to do this season, right? What the players are going to do, new guys. I agree. I'm coming around to the AJ Dillon pick, and that's thanks to a lot of my peers. So I'm happy with that. But, you know, we can hypothesize all day on players and what they do. But the Packers have made some moves this offseason, you know, bringing in Jerry Gray to the secondary. Mike Smith, obviously, last year, linebacking core. Mike Pettine's still there. And Matt LaFleur was a first-year head coach last year. But is there, maybe I'll open this to both of you, but we'll let Tom start first. Tom, is there any coaches on this coaching staff that you might see on a hypothetical hot stove, hot seat situation? Maybe even just a guy that might be the next one out, not necessarily maybe on the hot seat. Is there anyone you view that way going into the 2020 campaign?
Yes, there are three actual coaches in particular: Sean Menenga, Maurice Drayton, and Raina Stewart. Those are all the special teams coaches. And it's not because of the special teams play. It's because they brought in a student, a high school student named J.K. Scott, and allowed him to play football when they knew that he had school the next day and he had to prepare for his studies. And the fact that they brought him in, and you know what? I don't know how J.K. Scott did in math the next day. I know he had exams. And honestly, for me, that's unforgivable as a teacher, as an educator, to kind of put sports first. So yeah, I think honestly, all three of them are on the hot seat for what they did to J.K. Scott, because who knows how his high school career is going to go now.
Fair point.
Honestly though, Mike Pettine. Yeah, if Mike Pettine doesn't turn it around, he's gone.
there's the kicker. Yeah, I mean, that's who I was going to say, obviously. Like, I mean, he got to stick around this year. I mean, Brian Gutekunst went out and got him all the toys last year. The defense certainly improved, but there's that, you know, point that Tom touched on earlier, which is the run defense. And I didn't see a lot of help this offseason. Please sign Snacks Harrison. But I haven't seen anything that says, you know, the Packers or Brian Gutekunst don't think that they have the people on the roster to stop the run. That to me means it's, they think it's coaching. They think there's improvements with the players that they have on the roster that they can do that with. And yeah, I think you're right, Tom. If that doesn't happen, it's going to be bye-bye. You know, when you look at bringing in Jerry Gray too, a former defensive coordinator, really experienced guy, like, I don't know, that might make me nervous if I'm Mike Pettine, that they've got a guy with that pedigree just kind of hanging around on the staff.
Well, and I've talked about this a couple times now, but you have like a Dom Capers, right, who definitely overstayed his welcome in Green Bay. But at the same time, I won't put it completely and totally on Dom Capers because he still fielded, you know, one of the best defenses in 2010. In 2014, he put together another good defense, you know, and Thompson, to his credit, you know, we did draft defensive players. It just did not work out. You know, you look at guys like Sherrod or talking about like Quentin Rollins or Demarius Randall, you know, all those first and second round picks, Hot and Clinton Dix, who just didn't work out on the team. And I think, as you just alluded to, you have the players now. I think it comes down to personnel. And, you know, with Mike Pettine, if he's not able to kind of say, okay, you know, we're going to make a vast improvement on our defense, then yeah, then it becomes a problem, especially when you have guys like Matt LaFleur coming in and saying he wants to get more involved with the defense. That's usually not a good sign if you're Mike Pettine, if your boss is basically saying, hey, I'm just going to work real, real close with you, buddy, just to make sure that we're all on the same page. Yeah, that's never a good sign.
Can't disagree with that. It'll be interesting. Like, I have faith. I do believe in Mike Pettine. I think he can pull it off, but he might have to play a little bit less dime to make that happen, to stop that run game. There is one question, Tom, we do need to ask you, and I'm pretty sure this is what all of our listeners want to know. If Aaron Nagler beat Tom Grassi in Madden and Matt Frelick beat Aaron Nagler in Madden, does that mean that Matt is the king of Packers Madden Twitter, or are you willing to take him on in a PWW live stream event?
I mean, we could do that, but yeah, no, Matt's the king. Like, that's easy. If you've watched any of my Madden Mondays, I am literally the hottest of garbage.
I have watched them. I mean, it's...
Yeah. It's bad. It's bad. No, listen, I have strengths. We were talking about them. Madden's not one of them. We've talked about the lack of time that people have to do things outside of this podcast. Playing Madden is one of those things that I do not have time for. So when I sit down on Mondays, people are like, oh, have you practiced kicking extra points? No, I haven't. I don't have any time. So literally, what you see is what you get, and what you get is not pretty.
And I've been playing Madden competitively, we'll say, for 15 years, so I have a tiny bit of an edge. That's fair. I will say your franchise transactions and trades and swindling is bar none, though. I mean, I've seen you pull off some stuff and I'm like, how is he just giving away picks left and right? And you're very analytical with the way you're trying to just not give too much but get some young talent. So I will give you some props that way, but I mean, you are mortgaging off the future in some capacity and giving away some young talent that Goody went out and, you know, got for everyone.
Oh yeah, and you know what, listen, Aaron Nagler freaking, you know, he called me out on it. He's like, oh, you try to, you know, trade Elton Jenkins. Listen, I am playing Madden 20 with the old rosters because my ass is way too broke to buy Madden 21 at this point. So what I'm saying is, yeah, I'm doing it because this is just a franchise for YouTube. I'm never playing this game again after that franchise is done. I'll probably get Madden 21 eventually. And so at this point, yeah, I'll mortgage the future, because if I was to play a regular franchise, I would have at least 4 first round picks, because that's just how I roll. On the field, hot garbage, but I can guarantee you that my future is going to be set.
Yeah, you're playing Chinese checkers.
That's it, 5D chess.
Tom, before we wrap things up here, I just do want to throw this story out that I thought about kind of when we were halfway through recording. The first time I ever actually watched a complete video of yours, to be honest, was about, I want to say it was over a year ago. I think the title of the video was I'm Making the Leap, or I Made a Decision, or something around those lines. And I remember watching the video and it was,
I quit my job.
It was even more dramatic than I thought. I remember watching that video and I'd seen clips of you before, never watched a full video, but I watched that video and I'm like, either this guy's completely full of shit or he just gave the most genuine, off the cuff emotion. This is a dip into my real world, which I've respected, because like a lot of people, I feel like, especially in 2020, will sit behind a camera, sit behind a microphone or, you know, their iPhone and just tweet things out, but you actually like divulge stuff of your personal life. And I would thought that was pretty impressive to do that. And I personally gained a lot of respect for you. And I hope other people that, you know, choose to take the leap, whether that's creating their own podcast or YouTube series and thinking they can make, you know, ends meet that when I know you didn't, you know, completely get rid of your full-time job and you're going to do some substitute teaching, if I'm not mistaken at this point, but I respected that quite a bit.
No, I appreciate it. Yeah. Honestly, you know, I'm going to address two things there. I'll address the video second. So one of the things that you hit the nail completely on the head, the majority, and I know that's it's a very big generalization, but I feel pretty comfortable saying it. The majority of people who create content, you know, whether it's YouTube or whatever medium, are full of shit. And like, that's the nice way to put it. What I mean by that is like, they're putting on a facade. There's a character. There's one of the things that I have found is, one, that would be fucking exhausting to do every single day. You have to be this certain way when the cameras go on or when the mic goes on, whatever. And like, flat out, like, that's straight up not me. And if you don't believe me, go and watch a 6-hour stream that I do, you know, for the draft, in which like, I'm sitting there and like, we're chilling. Like, I'm talking to like a normal person and that's it. Like, the amount of energy, enthusiasm I give, it's real. Like, it's 100% real. That's just why people have decided to gravitate towards me, which I don't completely understand still. But I think it's because there is that little bit of that genuine character, action, what have you. And I think that that is so lacking today, because like you said, you hit the nail on the head, whether it's any social media or what have you, there's just so much fake bullshit out there. You know, listen, there are plenty of times where like, I fuck up, I don't do things right. Years ago, and like years ago, even before I was quote unquote popular, I made a video, and this is when I started actually getting views. I made a video talking about how I completely and totally disagreed with the NFL's national anthem policy, that they would basically fine players for kneeling. And I got a lot of shit for that. I flat out asked Mark Murphy about that and why the NFL was kind of failing the players as well. When that came up again this year, I said the same exact thing, because like, I was like, hey, go check out this video from years ago. And it's literally going to be almost the same exact one. There is a fear out there of, if I say the wrong thing or the non-popular thing, or I go against the grain, I'm going to lose followers. And I will actively say, I do not give a shit. Like, I didn't care when I had 100 subscribers. I don't care when I have 97,000 subscribers. And please do not confuse that with, I don't care about my fans, because I absolutely adore them. But the people that watch me and appreciate me, there's a reason why the channel's named Tom Grassi and it's not Packass, because it's me. That's what it is. At the end of the day, my wife is on the show. She comes and does predictions. My dad comes on the show, and that's it. There's no acting. There's no games. Like, that's it. You're just getting people talking about football and what have you. You're talking about that specific video. You know, that was bad. Like, that was a bad, bad time in which I most definitely was not making enough money with the podcast to support myself. And I quit my job, took a $10,000 pay cut, and took a 90-minute commute one way to do a public school job, because I was in a private school. And when I got there, they flat out lied to me about what the job was. It wasn't a traditional teaching job, and it was a shit show. So I knew within a week, I was like, oh shit, like, this is really bad. Like, this is really, really bad. And I made the decision that I was going to quit. I couldn't quit for 30 days, or they threatened to take away my teaching certification, which I had worked years for. Instead, what I did is I said, okay, I'm going to quit. I'll substitute teach. And the podcast does okay. Great. Cool. It's not going to pay the bills, but like, it'll do something. I'll substitute teach and make $100 a day. So I did that for a couple weeks. Then I got offered a leave replacement, which was, and this is a fact, 1/200th of a teacher's salary. I took that because it was a little bit more stable and gave me a little bit more money. That ended like the day after the draft from this year. And then I haven't gotten a paycheck since May 15th. And so then when it came to this season, what happened was, I am very concerned that there's not going to be football. And if there's not football, no dancing around it. Like, I'm fucked if there's no football, in which, you know, the ad revenue is very minuscule. The amount of revenue that you bring in is not enough to pay the bills. You know, I took a full-time teaching job that is thankfully closer to my house. It seems like it's in a good school district. And so, yeah, like I'm flat out going to be working, you know, 80 to 100 hour weeks again. Like it's going to happen again. I can look at it as a failure of like, yeah, I put out a video that I'm going to quit my job. And I did. Like I flat out quit my job expecting that, okay, let's see what happens. And I did that. And now it's just a matter of, okay, well, now, you know, I have a little bit of stable income, you know, coming from this teaching job that's, you know, going to start mid-September, hopefully. We're going to see where it goes. And I think that, you know, that's real life. People can say, I quit my job and I was successful and it went so well. And now I'm a gajillionaire living in my mansion doing something that I love. And like that's not always what happens. Like sometimes, you know, you quit your job, you still have to take on other jobs because YouTube doesn't pay the bills. That's just real. And it's not beautiful and it's not extravagant, but that's what happens.
I respect that so much, man. And I know I can speak for Ryan and the rest of our Packers worldwide team. We totally align with you on your views with the Packers and the NFL. So at least one way or another, you got some following with that. And I don't know if we're on the Grassy Posse yet, but we at least align with you and we respect what you're doing and just being honest with people, right? I'd look forward to you putting out content. If you need help with maybe having a simulation for a Madden season or a franchise, you know, I can play, you can draft and do the back end stuff and we'll kick some butt and, you know, take home a couple Super Bowls. But Jordan loves staying. He's got to stay and maybe we'll trade Aaron Rodgers. But as we wrap up here, Tom Grassy, we appreciate you coming on the podcast, man. As always, you can follow Packers Worldwide on Twitter. That's Packers_WW. Find us on YouTube, Packers Worldwide, Instagram, and Facebook. Putting out new content there all the time. You can follow me on Twitter specifically at Matt_Frey_. That's at MATT_FRA. Ryan, where can everyone find you on Twitter?
You guys can find me on Twitter at RyanBowmanPWW. Matt, you already dropped our Packers_WW. Tom, where can our listeners find what you do, anything that you're working on for the 2020 season that's special that you got planned?
Yeah, so all social media is at Tom Grassy Comedy because some a-hole took at Tom Grassy. So I'm still bitter about that from years ago. YouTube, just type in Tom Grassy. You'll find me at some point. It's PackCast on everything else. It's just Packers and podcast mixed together. Really, really creative here. And then for the 2020 season, yes, there's definitely some things in the work. You know, I've been putting out content at least 5 days a week since last August of 2019, and we've continued into this August. So yeah, expect still very, very consistent content, a potential new show with a former NFL player.
Love the segue. Love the plug there. Is that breaking news, by the way, or is that well known?
Yeah, no one knows that. Yeah, no one knows about the player. No one knows about the show. Yeah, that was that was a conference call when I was on a boat on a kayak a few days ago.
Nice. We got a breaking news nugget here on the PWW podcast. Appreciate you dropping that here, Tom.
Absolutely.
Watch it completely and totally fall through, and then that's... And then that gets really anticlimactic.
No worries, but appreciate you once again, Tom, coming on. Good luck with all your successes. Hopefully the season goes well for you. And if not, you always know you have some allies over here at Packers Worldwide to reach out to. Thank you for everyone listening. As always, subscribe, rate, review, share with your friends, and use hashtag PWW Mailbox for your questions to be answered on a podcast or on a live stream when we get towards training camp. More video content coming towards you. You guys take care, be safe, and we'll talk to you soon.
Guys, we're good.
Yes, we are.
Listening to Packers Worldwide Podcast. Like, comment, subscribe, and share with other Packer fans around the world.
We don't need no dumb luck, cause we all know the Bears still suck!
That was awkward.